Ladies and gentlemen,
can I touch you at all?
It is great to be here, dear listeners. It's another episode of Barely Touched Him. And do you have a moment to talk about our Lord and Saviour, Harley Reid? My name is Ben Ree. I am joined by my co-host, Corey. How are you, my friend?
Hello, Ben. What a weekend of football.
I mean, it's a huge weekend of football for many reasons. I mean, it's hard to even know where to begin with all of the football that was played and all of the news that came from it. But I've got some news hot off the presses, and it might not be something that you would be expecting, Corey, or dear listener.
Hit me with it.
Your boy, as in myself, has come out of football retirement.
Yes.
I have played footy on the weekend for the mighty Coolbinia Falcons, got the call up very late on Thursday from the coach. Said, hey, do you want to play you want to play Saturday? I went, I was commentating football already in the morning on Saturday, yep. Waffle Colts. It was Subiaco versus West Perth. Subi got the chocolates, which is good. My cousin Hudson Walker was playing for them. Shout out, Hudson. But had to do a very quick turnaround to get to the ground. Coolbinia Thirds versus Ellenbrook at Yokine.
You're the Falcons, right?
The Falcons, yes. It used to be Coolbinia West Perth.
And what's the kit?
It's the West Coast Falcons kit, I'm pretty sure. So it's like a red background and then a sort of flying blue falcon design.
I'm familiar
sort
with
of
that.
Like the Naughty's Eagles Eagle, where it sort of has the large wingspan across the jersey. It's a good kit.
So how did you go?
So there's a bit of context with pre-game. I thought I would be playing in my usual spot of the back line.
Yeah, so did I. You did let me know beforehand.
They posted the board and I was playing on a half-back flank.
Yeah, the board that you posted, very funny, by the way.
Yes.
There were some very funny names in there. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but just nicknames on the magnet board.
It's a classic like thirds-looking leaderboard.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking Chris-o. Ones that like didn't have a magnet, so it's just texter on another magnet.
There's a lot of texter operations on that whiteboard, but I'm thinking halfback flank. All right, usually I'd be playing key defender, but I'm not up to my usual strength that I was back in me peak. Happy to go off of halfback, take a shorter bloke in a one-on-one, be really selfish, get the handball receives. Maybe I'll finish with 15 touches. Massage some ears, perhaps. Pull out of the contest and don't go back with the flight. But when I get there, everyone's going, oh, Benny, you're playing full forward today. I've gone, what? No, that can't be true. For context, I've only been in the forward line once, and that was last year. I got put there because someone was late to the game, and I was full forward for literally 40 seconds of the first quarter, straight back to fullback once he got there out of his car. So I get there, and I'm going, oh, shit, I'm looking at the board. They've changed me to full forward, and I'm like, shit, all right.
So are you getting legitimately nervous at this point?
I was nervous before rocking up and knowing this because I hadn't touched a football in 8 months.
So but historically, what's your accuracy like? Your accuracy and your distance for a set shot?
Well, I've only ever kicked 2 goals in my career and they were legit 9.5 years ago. So not great. They were both in my Colts season. I think I've maybe had 5 shots on goal until then. Missed all of them. So, and again, haven't touched a football in 8 months. So I'm getting there doing the warm-up and I'm also unfit. I'm about 97 kilos at the moment.
You've been jogging.
I have been jogging. You've been jogging. But only really 3 or 4 Ks at a time. By the warm-up, I'm pretty cooked. I'm doing a couple of kick-to-kicks. I'm telling old mate JT, pop some high ones up to me. I've taken a couple of marks. My heart rate's going very fast and I'm breathing. I'm like, this is going to be a long day. And now I'm getting more nervous because I'm tired.
Of course.
I'm going to fucking make a fool of myself. I can't be full forward. So we're versing Ellenbrook. They won the week before by like 120 points or something. Yeah. I'm thinking, fuck,
classic
mate,
third grade.
This is going to be terrible. So first quarter starts. Pretty hot footy to start with.
Yes.
It comes into me. It's like a mark. I get a chest mark in the forward flank maybe 30 metres out. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, I've got a shot here. I've got a set shot. But the angle, I'm on the boundary. It's not that tight of an angle. But to me, very, very tight angle. So I'm going, shit, I've got to pass this off. And I've gone into the pocket. Turn the ball over. Someone's picked it up. I'm like, fuck. All right. No worries. It'll come again. The runner's come out and given me a spray and gone, Benny, take the set shot if you've got the distance. I'm like,
he's giving you a spray off the
I don't have the distance. So 5 minutes, I'm copping a spray. I move up the ground. I'm making some tackles. I'm getting a couple of touches. Then Because I'm spent, I've spent far too long up in the opposing back line after supporting it. Ball gets in transition. I'm like, fucking all right. I get on my bike towards the 50 again. And I'm just going through the corridor. There's no opponent with me because we're all in thirds. And I see my teammate's got the ball left fucking centre half forward flank. And I've gone, oh, shit, I'm actually on in the middle and free. And we've got a two-on-one here. Kick it over to me. Ball clears me. It goes over my head to a one-on-one with my teammate and his opponent. He gets tackled. I'm on for the handball, looking at the goals. I'm 40 metres out. The goals are here.
Just like, slow motion. Like, holy I can't shit, believe this is happening.
Chariots of Fire music. Dun, 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 dun. I get the handball receive. I'm fucking charging towards goal. I've done the most disgusting ball drop in the world.
Yeah,
I think it spun sideways going down to my boot. I've just fucking lined myself up at it, kicked it. It's done a weird inside-out torpedo that looks disgusting in the air, straight through the middle. First goal in 10 years. First goal of the game. Everyone gets around me. I'm thinking, fuck, we're in for a day here. I'm spent. I'm absolutely spent. So first quarter keeps going. It's a low-scoring game. That's the only goal we kick for the quarter.
Oh, Jesus.
And we're like four goals down in the opening term.
Oh, fuck.
Second term, we start to level the ledger a little bit. I get a second opportunity to do something. There's a guy. They're running it out of halfback. I'm at full forward in the goal square. Yeah. I see they're transitioning out. He's maybe 35, 40 out, looking to run through the corridor. I look at him. I'm like, I can fucking catch this guy. I sprint my ass off to get to him. Lunge at him. Tackle, bang, holding the ball and fucking head in the turf as well.
Oh, yes,
it
good.
Was a dangerous tackle.
Good.
I should have been penalised. I was not. And I've got a set shot 40 metres out.
Yes.
Go back. You know what fucking happened.
Slots
bang,
it.
Bang, second Slots goal. It. Second goal. So I'm thinking, all right, I've kicked
so
two.
You're pumped here.
I'm pumped here. We're two goals down now. We're getting back into it. Third quarter.
The adrenaline overtakes the fact that you've got 3% left in the tank.
I've got nothing in the tank. I'm in negative tank. I am in negative tank. Third quarter, it's again a low-scoring shit fight. They haven't kicked a goal yet in the quarter. I get right before the three-quarter time siren, ball comes in high to the goal square. I'm wrestling with my man, somehow lands in my chest, and I've taken a mark in the pocket. I'm thinking, fuck, three-quarter time siren goes, and I've got a set shot.
Oh, fucking
about
hell.
15 metres out, but very tight angle, very, very tight angle. Oh, God, I'm going to go the drop punt.
I
do not trust myself to do a check side. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. Just settle down, Benny. I'm having an anxiety attack. Kick it, third goal, straight through, yes.
Fucking
we up. Get to the end of the game. It's fourth quarter. We're all fucked. I've got the ball on the boundary line on the edge of our 50. We're I think 3 points down, cut to the end of the game. 5 minutes left, 3 points down. I see a kick inside. I see a teammate. Lace out, get it to him. He kicks the winning goal.
Oh,
we go in front and then we hold out for the next 4 minutes. Just tackle,
mate.
Hold it up. We win by, I think it was like 46 to 40. It was a brutal low scoring game.
But I love it.
A bag of three.
I love it.
And the winning goal assist.
Came from you.
Came from your boy.
So where do we stand on the retirement now?
I'm now.
They're going to be calling you every week.
I'm now second in the goal kicking. You know, I think the leader is on four. So now I'm second in the Coleman. You know, it's all happening so fast. Turns out I like playing as a forward.
If we refine your training regime as a forward,
yes,
it won't matter that you don't have the tank.
I got to say, it was quite refreshing not having to play on a man. Forwards have it easy.
Great.
You do.
100%.
You really just do what you want, really,
exactly.
Especially at the local level. You just like, fucking run over here,
and
over there.
If they're not letting you do what you want, you just deck them.
You deck it. Yeah,
doesn't
you deck
matter.
It. And also, like, I went back, like, crashed so many packs being an asshole and body spoiling and just elbowed people in the head. And no one does anything. Like, it's great. Anyway, the rest of the footy news about
a
retirement.
Up the Falcons.
We'll I can't play this week because I'm working.
We'll see how Benry goes for the rest of the season.
Let's go, Coolies.
If you play again, I'm 100% coming.
Oh, you got to film it. We need to make content.
100%.
Other things in the football news, we go from happy to sad.
Nathan Murphy. Now, our beloved Pies didn't play this week. It was quite weird, actually. You know, I had to check. I probably checked about three or four times. I'm not a smart man.
Yep.
So even though I'd already
checked. By the third reminder.
Yeah, an hour would go past. So, yeah, hang on.
You're the meme of that Hispanic man sitting on the chair, just like with waiting for the Pies to play again. But yeah, it was weird. But now this is a sad story. Nathan Murphy.
57 games.
Premiership.
His last game was, of course, the Premiership match. And yeah, he has been forced into retirement through repeated concussions. He's only managed 57 games over. I'm not sure even how long he's been in the system. A few years.
Yeah,
he's only about 24.
He's 25. 24, I believe. So yeah. I think we drafted him at 18. He's maybe played his first game at 2021. Yeah. So yeah, he's been there for a bit.
He was a phenomenal part of last year.
Well, the thing with Nathan Murphy is the reason he was such a good player is because he was so courageous going back with the flight of the ball to his own detriment. Yep. And it's not, I'm not knocking him for that because you're taught to do that as a kid, but the fear never really goes away no matter what high level you're at. Even the hardest players, that is the most difficult decision you can make, to run backwards, not looking what's behind you and tracking the ball. That's where the damage happens. And he did that more than anybody in the team.
Well, he was kind of the antithesis slash running mate of Darcy Moore, because Darcy Moore played a little bit higher and Murphy could slip behind him and take that courageous moment, while Darcy Moore is more of the intercept higher player.
And that's what teams are doing now. They will have a 1-2 punch where, even though both guys are capable, we're talking the two key defenders here, the main ones, both guys would be capable of getting loose and getting an intercept mark. Usually one is going to do it more than other. You see 100%. Barras and McGovern doing that really well. May and Lever do that really well. Now Mitch McGovern and Jacob Wietering do it really well. One locks down deeper. The other flies up and pushes to wherever the contest is at the fall of the ball. And we miss that now. We really do miss Nathan Murphy playing that lockdown role.
But prayers up to Murphy.
Apparently
he was cleared there's been a bit of confusion from what I've read online, but supposedly he was cleared by the AFL and the Collingwood medical panels to keep playing, and it was his decision, although some people have disputed that. Hasn't come out there's no quote from him exactly, but that seems to be the consensus, is that it was his decision in the end.
Yep.
And fair play to him.
Yeah,
he's had a lot of concussions.
You've got to look out for yourself at the end of the day. It's such a shame that, his career has been taken away so early. But from what I understand, the Pies knew that this was a possibility and gave him an extra year on his contract anyway.
Yep.
So he would still be covered and he's still going to be paid out. Don't worry about the money for the year. Like, you do what's best for you. You will get paid out for this contract.
And it is tough when you're that young because, I mean, you don't know anything else.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's only 24. He's got time to, I guess, go to uni or do whatever he likes.
Of course. And prayers up for our boy.
Prayers up.
Next up, we've got, this is my next, I swear to God, this is what
if
my
this
dot
is what
point
I think
says.
It is. It's my favourite.
No, it's not there yet, but it's trouble at the kennel.
Oh,
is
fuck.
That's what my dot point says.
Fuck.
And
it's all they're talking about. But Bulldog Twitter is melting down.
There is trouble at the kennel. I hate to sound like Damien Barrett, but you can't. When there's smoke, there's a fire. The Bulldogs Twitter. I am so invested other clubs' Twitter, like, hate tweets at the moment.
Yeah.
Bulldogs.
They want his head.
They've wanted his head for a while now, but now it's reached a fever pitch.
It's
fever pitch. They will not rest until Bevo is burned at the stake. Well, where do I stand on it? You ask, Corey. Yep. I'm glad you asked. I think that it's time for Bevo to step down. That's what I think. I don't think the club should sack him. I think you should just say, hey, Bev, it's been what, 10, 11, 12 years now you've been in the position. No matter what coach you are, no matter how good you are, and I think Bevo was a good coach at one point.
Well,
clearly he won
a
flag.
Premiership.
But every coach has a shelf life. It's just the nature of the business, and it's the nature of the way other coaches move the game forwards, and I think Bevo is just not the right man for the job.
He was obviously a premiership coach, Ben, but it's been nearly 10 years since he took the helm. They've never finished in the top four.
Yeah, that's the big condemning one. The most wins they've gotten in a season under him is, I think, 15, which is fine, but you'd want, with that list, to be getting more wins on the
board.
This
is the discourse that's going on, the list. How good and top heavy the list is, and what they're not doing with it. And the only defense that I've, the only reasonable defense that I've seen of the past 5 weeks is that, you know, he's doing what a coach is supposed to do and shake it up and try something new and whatnot. But with the decisions that he's been making, why would you not trade these all-Australian players?
Yeah, while you can get something for them.
While you can get something for them, because now you're not playing them. Their trade value is plummeting
absolutely
through
correct.
The floor. If that's what you wanted to do, do it last year.
Imagine what you could have gotten for Jack McRae last year like on the market.
Daniel.
Or Caleb Daniel.
Caleb Daniel was a gun.
Caleb is still a gun.
Oh, 100%.
And so is McRae. Like, you're right.
Their trade value is plummeting.
It is only hurting the club to not get anything for these guys. They're not playing for you.
Yep.
You're not getting any assets back for them when you could make this supposedly really good list even better. Mm. Like, yeah, it's...
There's mystifying, even with the team that he does play, there's mystifying... mystifying decisions that he makes.
The Riley Sanders one comes to mind.
Riley Sanders is insane. Relying on too many tall forwards, which is, you know, a couple of years ago, having too many tall forwards, that's a great problem to have. Now it's no good.
You're too slow.
You've got Aaron Norton, Jamari Ugle-Hagan, and then they traded for Rory Lobb. Like,
yeah.
Why? Why?
Yeah, and now Rory Lobb is posting TikToks about playing in the VFL and they're very awkward and cringe.
Very bad.
Bevo
very,
is to blame
bad.
For those TikToks.
Very
really,
bad.
When you think about it, Bevo made those TikToks himself, not Riley O'Brien's weird girlfriend.
I think.
Sorry, not
I
Riley
think,
O'Brien, Rory Lobb. Why I did think, I say Riley, Riley O'Brien?
I think Bevo, yeah, gone. Goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye. Well, crisis talks are happening as we speak, according to Caroline Wilson.
Yeah, according to Caro, the hard word has been given by the Dogs to him. Like, do something or you're out.
I believe it. She's never been wrong before.
No,
she's never,
never.
Been wrong. Next up, we've got Butters
Caro.
Versus Crouch bumps in the news.
Oh, here we go. Kingy went off on this
now,
one.
And look.
Have you seen the spiel?
I've seen the spiel.
Oh,
and he's,
God.
I love it when David King goes off on the powers that be.
And especially on behalf of player safety. He truly believes it.
And
whether you would agree with him or not, he truly believes in
and he has been
place.
Very consistent on that. So to update you, if you're not aware, dear listener, there was two bumps that were reported to the MRO this round. One was Zach Butters' bump on, I forget who it was, the Freo player.
Banfield.
Bailey Banfield, yes. Yeah. And Matt Crouch's bump.
It was a particularly brutal one in that it had the boxer's sweat.
Yes, you could see the sweat flying off.
When a boxer gets... clocked on the button, the sweat flies off, and that
and
happened to Banfield.
Matt Crouch going in on whoever he was going in on. Now, both of them are very similar situations where the player sees a ground ball and sees an opposing player coming to get said ball, and it's a foot race to get there. Let's see who can pick the ball up first. In the process, they both clock somebody.
Yep.
Matt Crouch sort of bumps first and then picks up the ball.
Yep.
When I watched it in slow motion, I was like, nah, you're too soft, you can't pay that.
I watched it in slow,
and I went, Matt Crouch, fair enough, honestly. He kind of does. He leads to bump first in order to protect that space where you should have just put yourself in danger. You should have gone head first and picked up the footy. I hate to say that, but you've made the decision to bump, I think. Butters' one is a weirder one because...
Butters' one's a lot weirder to
he
me.
Doesn't stop. Nope. He just keeps fucking going like a bullet.
He's going for the ball.
He's going for the ball, but very fast. And you might say recklessly, depending on what your stance on that is. Like, he is really... He does not slow down at all,
the thing is,
knowing that the player is there.
To my eye, Banfield kind of comes down second. So it's because of Banfield that he gets hit, not because of Butters.
But like, so, Banfield didn't enter the contest protecting himself.
No. And the thing is, in Kingy's rant,
and also Crouch has got a week and Butters hasn't. That's what we're getting into, suspensions.
Yep. So in Kingy's rant against the AFL stance on this.
They're corrupt.
Joey Castagna, he kind of disagreed. He was like, well, what are they supposed to do? This is a football action. And Kingy actually made a good point that they heavily regulated against taking out the legs in recent years, and that immediately stopped that. And they were still paying it even if it didn't cause injury.
Yes.
And so Joey's...
It was to change player behaviour.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Joey's thing was like, what are we supposed to do? Pay these? And he was like, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
And weighing in on that.
It is very difficult to do, isn't
because
it?
Because this is all decided by one bloke, Michael Christian, the MRO, yes. who you might remember as actually a very good commentator, if you're our age, or a good player. He says, we've got to be very careful that we allow players the opportunity to contest the ball. This is talking about why Butters was not suspended.
Yep.
It's an integral part of the way the game is played, and we felt Zach Butters did that. So I think, like, that's a very... quite shocking statement to be making. Yeah. The fact that he's made any statement at all, usually he doesn't.
Yeah, wow.
The fact that he's choosing to die on this hill for this particular bump is a weird one to me, is a weird yeah. one, but, you know, watch this space, dear listener. And look, now we get into arguably the best...
If you're Peter Wright, I think you'd be feeling pretty dirty.
You'd be pretty salty. You'd be pretty salty about this right about now.
That's rough.
The best story of the week.
Oh, yeah.
And in my opinion, a feel-good story for the ages.
100%.
Jake Stringer is converting to Islam, allegedly, yes. apparently. Maybe not converting, but he's been spending time with the Muslim community. He's been going to mosques. He's been praying.
It was my understanding that he is converted.
I didn't hear that converted fully because but
maybe that takes like some amount of time.
Well, I believe the process is actually quite straightforward for converting to Islam. All you need to do is just recite a particular passage or a set list of prayers in front of one of the head figures in your local church, I think your local mosque, and you're in. They're very welcoming. They're very welcoming.
When I saw this story pop up, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a meme post.
I thought I couldn't love him anymore. And now, inshallah, he's my brother, our boy. But he was, bless him, Jake Stringer. He's not the most well-spoken man in the world. And he had this. This was Mitch Cleary in the rooms breaking the story. and he's just asking Jake Stringer questions like, you know, what brought this on, Jake? This is really cool. Like, what's the deal with this? Yeah. And he's like, oh, you know, it's just really interesting, you know. Like, it's just something different, you know. It's just, on the weekend, it's not just all about footy. It's just something different. Like,
it's the most bizarre reasoning.
It's the most non-committal thing ever for this big life decision of, like, you know, and I'm pro Jake Stringer being Islamic.
100%.
100% pro conversion. You should do it. But, like, it was just such a nothing answer. Like, you'd think it would be.
The reason I think it's funny is not because I think converting to Islam is funny or
no,
being Muslim
not in
is
any
funny.
Way. Not
it's
in
funny
any way.
Because it's Jake Stringer. That's why it's funny. That's why it's funny to me.
Everything that Jake Stringer does is funny. I don't care what it is. 100%. I love him. I wanted to give him votes this week again and I couldn't do it. But no, I really wanted to. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. We are with you, Jake Stringer. And obviously what he should do now is become an advocate for freeing Palestine. That's what he should be doing.
Well, if he should take on
the Israel lobby.
If he makes a statement,
Oh my God. He's going to go, I'm going to be giving him 5 votes every week if he's getting in the press conference and just going, one thing to talk about, guys, it is genocide. Just getting out there. If he had hammer and tongs.
If he adopts a very slight accent, that would be great as well.
Oh, yes. Coming out in the full garb. Like, well, he had the prayer beads as well. He had the prayer beads in the locker and he had a photo of him. Like, hell yeah, dude. You go, Jakey. We're so pro. You're going to get a lot of hate, Jake, from dickheads, from... weird xenophobic assholes who hate any religion that isn't Christianity. Good for you, son.
Yeah, good.
Good for you. Inshallah. You do you. Inshallah.
Jason Dunstall has been elevated to legend status in the Hall of AFL Hall of Fame.
Love.
Yep.
100%. Cannot love this enough.
100%.
And I posted on the old X, or formerly Twitter, for those who don't, because I've been doing that now. I actually think, even though statistically, Jason Dunstall is undeniable as like the second best goal scorer ever.
Yeah. Well, I think he's third on the list behind Coventry.
But it's like him and Lockett. Coventry's hard because it was the black and white days and we have no footage.
100%.
But it's Dunstall and Lockett. Even though he's on that like top 5 list, for some reason, I still think he's underrated by people when it comes to being one of the best players ever.
Well,
because he is one of the best players ever.
He certainly had a more complete game than Lockett. Lockett's trick was running straight at the ball, catching it, and then kicking a goal. And then his total metres for a game, he wouldn't run more than 400 metres a game.
Whereas Dunstall was
more of a playmaker.
Deceptively agile for a guy his size.
And deceptively agile for a man wearing shorts that tight.
They were nut huggers. Absolutely nut huggers.
I've been watching highlights since this has been announced.
You can see everything.
I forgot. I remember this time. I was quite young, but I do remember watching Dunstall play. But God, I forgot how tight those shorts are.
Oh, you can. It's like a division symbol. It's line dot of just pure nut separation. But
fantastic player.
Another thing he was so good with was he was actually an unselfish player for a lot of the time. 100%. Oftentimes he would give it to a teammate in a better position rather than just going back for a set shot, which makes his goal tally even more impressive because he was always team first.
Agreed.
And the flags speak for themselves. There was a quote, I think it was from Dermot Brereton, and I am paraphrasing a bit here, but it was like, if I wanted someone to give me all these touches or give me like an amazing mark, I'd go with Gaz Senior. If I wanted someone to absolutely kick a goal with it when I needed a goal to depend on it, I'd go with Tony Lockett. But if I want someone to win me a flag, I'm going Dunstall every day of the week. The Dermy. The Dermy.
The only blight I could see on not inducting him to legend status is the fact that he is a huge part of Bounce.
And yeah.
So that is a shame. He still does deserve
I think we should take about 100 goals off of the final tally just for his involvement with Bounce. It is a dumpster fire.
It's bad.
Is that all we got for footy news? Should we go on to the results?
I've got some fun stats. Before we do results, I've got some stats, fun facts and the quiz.
Okay.
And then we'll hit it. First of all, we've been following one Jesse Hogan we're quite heavily invested in Hogan this year. We're both enjoying the Hogan.
We're pro Hogan, if you will.
Progan, yes, I like that. He's still leading the Coleman on 18 goals, one ahead of Kerno on 17 and Fritsch on 16, so that's good. Another medal or unspoken award that I've been following quite keenly is players that have spent 100% of game time.
On ground. Oh, I'm not aware of these.
There was three in the race. On the weekend, one has been knocked out.
Oh.
Ben McKay, unfortunately, went to the bench at one stage, so he is out.
Damn.
We're left with Callum Wilkie from St Kilda and Liam Jones from the Bulldogs.
Oh, Jonesy.
So,
yeah, right.
We will wait and see between
I reckon out of those two, Wilkie will win.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jonesy's going to get himself hurt.
Yep.
I think Wilkie will win that.
Now,
that's very good.
This week, Ben, before the quiz, I'm just going to quick fire off some fun facts at you.
Oh, please do.
I've got a short little
please
list
do.
Here. And if you have any comment about any of these, go off.
Yeah, go on.
So the first one is no premiership team in the history of the VFL-AFL has gone on to play with each other again.
Wow, the same list.
The exact same
it's
list.
It's a moment in time that
ever.
Is never captured again on the playing list.
And obviously the only one for Collingwood this from the past year has been Ginnivan.
Yes.
And
now Murphy.
Now Nathan Murphy.
Yes.
Mason Cox has a higher win rate than Patrick Cripps, 34.9% versus 61%.
61% for Big Coxie.
Big Coxie.
That's a great win rate.
He likes to win.
He likes to win
he
games.
He likes to fucking win.
Whether
or not he's a part of it.
Yeah.
He's there.
He's fucking there. Oh, that's great from Big Cox.
A few St Kilda ones here. St Kilda would have to win every game for 19 and a half seasons starting now to get a positive win rate.
Heartbreaking stuff.
That is just
heartbreaking stuff.
It's not great.
I've got one for you.
Yes.
John Coleman debuted 75 years ago today, and he got... Oh, you've left your bloody phone on during the podcast. Forget that, dear listener. John Coleman debuted 75 years ago today, and on his debut, do you know how many goals he kicked?
I believe it was 12.
It was 12 goals for a career average in the end of 5.5 goals per game.
Oh,
his
beautiful.
Goals per game never dropped below 4.3
at
any stage of his career.
Wow.
The highest, lowest average, so this is your lowest goal average during your career, is 4.3 to John Coleman. The next highest is G. Maloney. I forget whether that's Greg Maloney or what his name is, or Grant. 3.4 is the second highest, and then it goes from there.
That is an insane amount of goals
from Johnny Coleman. Every stat feels like a Tiger Woods stat for
him. I've got more St Kilda stuff here. Alan Jeans was the coach of St Kilda when they won their only premiership.
Yes.
He was younger than three of the players.
Yeah, well, Jeans is an interesting one.
He was a player.
Then he became a really great coach at Hawthorn as well. One of the best orators in football history, Alan Jeans. I'll show you a clip later. He's fantastic.
In the 1920s, the Saints had two players called Jack Shelton at the same time.
Interesting.
Not related at all.
Look at that.
So this one's about twins, which is very funny. In 1962, Alastair Lord and Stuart Lord both played for Melbourne, I believe. Alastair was in contention for the Brownlow, but he was in doubt through suspension. But Stuart claimed that it was him that did the hit.
Oh, what year would this have been?
It was 1962.
Okay, so yeah, not a lot of cameras around.
And also, it's speculated that Alastair took some of Stuart's votes because the umpires thought it was him.
Oh, that's a great get. That's so a great...
They have worked together to win a Brownlow.
Well, I respect the fuck out of that. That's fantastic. I'd love to go and find some footage.
The macadamia nut is named after the first football umpire, John McAdam.
What? No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You are not fucking... That is real. That can't be real.
That is real.
The macadamia nut...
Is named
after an umpire.
The first football umpire, John McAdam.
Why is the nut named after him?
It is a long story, but I'll shorten it for you.
What?
So he was very young when he umpired the confirmed historically accurate first ever game that had an umpire.
Yeah, because they didn't have... It was the two captains that deliberated before umpires.
It was him. And then briefly after that, he went back to Britain and he was an esteemed scholar where he was doing botany, he was doing science, he was doing a bunch of stuff.
What the fuck?
He organized the Burke and Wills expedition and then he ended up coming back to Australia. He died off the coast of New Zealand on a boat.
This is insane.
And one of some scholar back in England liked him so much and he was held in such a high regard that they discovered the macadamia tree. And he named it after him, John McAdam.
People's lives were so much more hectic back then.
I'll show you. Perhaps we can do a deeper dive.
Three of those dot points alone are like more exciting than anything anyone is ever going to do in their lives.
I've left out a bunch of shit.
That is wild.
He did a whole bunch of shit. It is crazy.
Oh.
Peter Basuto won Mark of the Year and Goal of the Year in the same year, 1981. It's never been done by anyone else.
Is it Basuto or Basasto?
Basasto.
Basasto, that is correct. Basasto was a great player.
David Mundy travelled more by plane. Travelled so much by plane, the distance could cover the distance between the moon and back.
That's pretty cool. Savage Garden.
It was a record.
Sorry.
It was a record previously held by Matthew Pavlich, but Mundy took it over. David Swallow, as of Gather Round, has played at 22 different venues, more than anybody else. He beat...
I didn't know he had 22 venues.
Some of them we don't anymore, but he just edged out Jack Thompson, who over his career averaged a new ground every 5 games.
Oh, very interesting. That is fucking wild.
In contrast, Alan Didak played his whole career at 6 venues.
That's cooked.
He played the Swans 15 times, but never at the SCG.
That's an indictment on the home and away schedule of the AFL. That is an indictment.
The most common margin in AFL history is 1 point, 366 times, 2 is second. 1970, Geelong v South Melbourne. The winner of this game plays finals. Doug Wade is a Cats player. He's lined up to take a shot. The ball is in the air. An apple thrown from the crowd hits the ball.
What a throw!
Goes in for a behind. Cats are out.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out that in later years, the man that threw the apple was identified. It was a Cats fan.
No fucking way. Yeah. That is bigger than the guy who came out and said he shot the dingo that killed Azaria Chamberlain. That is a bigger story.
Because
it's arguably a tougher shot to hit the apple with the fucking ball
with enough force to deviate
the fucking ball off of a Doug Wade kick as well. Doug Wade could thump the fucking ball.
We got two more.
That is massive.
Frank Bluey Adams played for Melbourne, 164 games, 12 seasons, 6 premierships. That's a flag every 27 games.
Norm Smith.
He's the most successful football player ever.
Yeah. You don't need to tell me anything more. This guy played under Norm Smith. Yeah, absolutely.
And the last one's quite grim, but in 1933, Hawthorn changed from mainly a brown strip to mainly a yellow strip.
Yeah.
Now, Fred Phillips was a Hawthorn player. He got the yellow dye in an open wound and promptly died. So they got rid of the yellow dye and went back to brown.
Is that because brown is less lethal? Or?
It's just the particular yellow dye they were using was turned out to be quite poisonous.
Oh, All the best to him and his family. Yes. Moving on. Is it quiz time, Corey?
It is quiz time.
It is the quiz time.
If I can find the intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, well, it's a time for the Barely Touched Him football quiz. Roll up, roll up. It's questions, it's answers, it's football. It's no other sports except football. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start the quiz.
Let's see how you go. This is thanks to Friday Footy Quiz on Instagram.
Shouts out Friday Footy Quiz.
We're very appreciative of his work here. These are great quizzes. They come out on Friday. If you want to get ahead of us,
yes.
But we'll test Ben here.
Okay. A
little bit less difficult than last week, Ben. Last week was tough.
Request in the noodle now for next week for this bit. Can we get the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music underneath
this? 100%.
The dun 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 dun. The little clock sound.
Let's kick it off. Yes. Who was the round 4 Rising Star nominee?
So this was the round before this one gone.
Gather round.
It was gather round. Was it Ollie Dempsey?
It was Sam Darcy.
Oh, Sam Darcy of the Doggies. Yes.
Giants defender Sam Taylor has been involved in 15 one-on-one contests this season. How many has he lost?
Zero.
That's correct. Which player topped the league for running bounces in 2023?
Adam Saad.
Andrew McGrath.
Oh, McGrath. Okay. That 2022 was Adam Saad.
Yes,
as a guess.
I think he's got several years, yeah. Adam Saad.
He usually wins.
A commentator saying that a debutant has joined that special/exclusive club would likely be indicating what?
It's either a goal with their first kick. Yeah.
That's correct.
Yep.
How many players belong to that special club? There's three options here. 98, 198, or 298.
Oh, they're all quite large. 198.
298.
Really? That's an odd question, but all right, I'll pay it.
Which Lion enjoyed a victory in their 250th game at Gather Round?
It is the Miracle on Grass, so it's what's his name? Bald fella.
No, it's 250th game on Thursday night. They're just gone.
Gone.
Gather around.
Say the question again, sorry. Which
Lion enjoyed a victory in their 250th game on Thursday night?
Was it Lockie Neal? Yes.
That's correct.
Sorry, I went back
not
to the Miracle
sure
on Grass.
Where you were going there.
I just love the Miracle on Grass, yeah.
It's like the meme, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? How often does your boyfriend think about the Roman Empire?
How often do I think about the Miracle on Grass? At least 6 times a day, at least. Go on.
How many premierships did Lance Franklin win at Hawthorn before moving to the Swans?
2.
2008 and 2013, that's correct. Name the 8 inaugural AFLW teams who formed the competition in 2017.
Richmond? Shit.
Incorrect. I'm looking at the list, like he's got to get one of them.
North Melbourne.
Fuck!
Oh, God, no.
Adelaide, Brisbane, Carlton, Collingwood, Fremantle, GWS, Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs.
I have made an absolute mess of that. Shit.
Luke Hodge, Luke Ball and Chris Judd were famously the first 3 picks in 2001's Super Draft. Mm-hmm. Who went at pick 4?
So who were the other ones?
Luke Hodge, Luke Ball and Chris Judd. You do know this. I've heard you talk about this guy quite a bit. Who went at pick 4 in 2001?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Graham Polak.
Oh, Polak! Oh, yeah, that of course. We make inappropriate jokes. We can't repeat them on here.
Didn't he get hit by a tram?
Yes, he did. I walked under a bus.
Who has more career goals, Daniel Bradshaw or Michael O'Loughlin?
Michael O'Loughlin. Oh, get
out of
here.
Daniel Bradshaw.
No way.
7 out of 10, not bad.
Yeah, 7 out of 10's not
bad.
It felt like less than that. Fucking hell, I'm amazed by that Bradshaw stat. That's a good quiz. So should we go into the results?
We'll go into some results.
All right,
Ben.
Do you want to read them out or
I'll
should
read
I?
Them out for
okay,
you.
No
so
worries.
First off was Thursday night, somewhat of an upset here.
I would say so, yes.
Melbourne defeated by Brisbane, 82-60. What have you got, Ben?
It's a much needed other win from Brisbane against very stiff opposition. I tipped Melbourne. I thought that they would. Like, I still have them up in my flag favourites.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
Amazing game from one Cam Rayner.
For sure, he got 25 touches, 9 clearances, and was pretty much the source of most of their gear out of stoppage. But like you say, that Melbourne is still favourites here. I think where they were lacking is easily tweaked. It wasn't a complete rollover, but this is just a reminder that Brisbane was in the grand final. They are a great team.
They're starting to string together some better football again. 3 goals to Charlie Cameron, 2 to Danaher. I thought Dunkley was really good in the middle as well, as always.
What was very interesting to me was their forwards negating Stephen May and Lever by playing in front. It was quite clever.
Yes, because usually a forward wants back shoulder now. Yep. You're in a battle for back shoulder.
Yeah, just realizing that you can't win against May and Lever. They're too strong. Changed the tactic and it fucking worked.
Yes.
Petrarca completely shut down. Petrarca and Oliver combining for their... probably their worst pairing in recent memory.
Yeah, it was shocking. A good coaching from Chris Fagan. You got to say a little reminder that you got to let him cook sometimes.
Sometimes you think it's the players and the list that really wills Brisbane along, but Fagan he does have that
special something. Next up, it was I love this.
The Plains and the Western Bulldogs 96-67.
Oh my god, I loved everything about this.
I loved it.
Obviously,
loved it.
Trouble at the kennel, but the jubilation at the hangar, and shout out to Sam Durham for his tag job on Marcus Bontempelli.
It was crazy.
Held him to 17 disposals and kicked a goal of his own. I think he got about 21 as well.
It's been quoted by a few people, but there was one quote that stood out, that not many people can take on Marcus Bontempelli and come out on top. Even legends of the game
have tried and failed. It was an amazing performance from Essendon. Like across the board, they had so many standout players. They're playing that high scoring, even though they only finished on 96, high-scoring attacking football. And in the second half and the last quarter, they ran over it. They really turned it on.
And I think one of the more interesting, most interesting things that happened here was Tim English getting absolutely shut down.
Yep.
I mean, he's looking
for... It was a good 1-2 hit from Draper and Goldstein. Yeah.
Todd Goldstein played out of his skin. And it's not... I don't know if you would probably know this, but as far as Ruckman go... if you look at their, I saw some a table made up of 6-year prime periods of Ruckman.
Yes.
Goldstein's got the most hit outs of any Ruckman, ever.
It's because he's been so durable for so long. Yeah. One of the things with Ruckman is because they're so big and because, you know, they're getting so much contact all the time, injuries are quite frequent.
They are, yeah.
Goldstein had a run of, I want to say, like 7 or 8 years without a major injury at North Melbourne. It might actually be more than that. His time on the ground,
he just kept going.
And that's worth its weight in gold as a Ruckman.
Interestingly, for the Plains, Herbertron made a return after Gunnarem.
Shout out Herbertron.
Shout out Herbertron.
If you haven't watched the We Are Essington videos by Herbertron,
very good.
That's where we get the term Essington from, is because Herbertron has this thing. I can't wait to see the one on this one, the win.
It's going to be amazing.
I cannot wait.
It's going to be amazing.
Also, now I think winning this trade period was Essendon. You look at who they've picked up now. You've got Goldstein. You've got Ben McKay down back, who is killing it down there. You've got Xavier Dersma on a wing,
who
is turning it on these past 2 weeks. He also did the excellent goal celebration of the bow and arrow into the John Cena "You Can't See Me."
If I'm not mistaken, Nick Martin and Durham were both not like highly regarded picks or trades.
No, they weren't.
They were off the heap.
We've got to say, well done, Dodoro. Fucking say it.
Now
I'm not going to want to get too far in there. But also, bloody Jade Gresham. Jade Gresham's playing really good footy at Essendon. Just those four players alone are straight into your best 22. They're all impacting games. And now, all of a sudden, I told you last week, that Port game was a mulligan.
Yeah, it was.
They're coming.
It was.
The Bombers are coming. Next up. Let's go. Next game.
Just one quick one. Jamara Ugle-Hagan taking some absolutely screaming marks.
Yeah, he loves a one-hander.
Oh, my God.
He loves a cheeky one-hander,
Jamara.
They
were insane. He finished with 3. Could have been 4.
My man. Get him out of the Dogs.
Get him out. Get him to the pies.
Yes.
Next game, we had another thriller. This was the start of Super Saturday. The Giants just getting there, 80-79 against the St Kilda Saints.
Yeah, obviously the elephant in the room for this one is the big hit to Sam Taylor.
This was big.
Very nasty. I was quite scared watching it.
It was bad.
I could tell because I didn't see the contact at first, but I saw the way he looked immediately after on the ground.
Yep.
I was like, oh dear, get the ambulance out here right away. Like this was really bad. I thought he was like seizing. It was real nasty.
The way his eyes looked after the hit was, yeah, very sickening.
Yeah.
But yeah, prayers up. Apparently he was ended up being somewhat fine in the rooms.
He was conscious in the rooms, and there was a photo that got shared of him in hospital, thumbs up, smiling.
So he'll get the 2 weeks off.
It could have been a lot worse.
Kicking the last 6 goals of the game to come back here.
And Brad Hill playing like a prime fucking Jason Ackermanis. He was amazing.
So the interesting stat from this one for me was that for this game, I'm not sure if this was for the game actually or this season. No, surely just for this game. 50%, half the time that they went inside 50, they fucking scored. Which is a crazy stat, really, because I think the average is a lot lower than that. It's got to be about 20.
It's like 1 in 3 or something. Like 20 or 30%. Yeah.
So that's, good work from the Saints, but to charge back like that. But, I mean, the Giants are still, to my eye, the best team in the comp.
I think so too.
Unbelievable.
And
the way that they steam down the field.
And that's a game where the good teams will find a way to somehow win, is when you've been shit for the second half and they're coming back. You still hold on and get the 4 points. And you know where you have to improve and come back next week.
Now, Benry, the next game, I've made you a soundbite for this one.
Oh, yes.
Oh. Crumb.
The crumb-pocalypse is on us. The crumb have turned up and delivered a crumb pie. Avril Lavigne. Oh,
they have delivered a crumb pie to Carlton.
A crumb pie. On the search bar.
The crumb dome is off.
Out of the packet. Oh, right in front of me. This was awesome game of footy.
15 league changes here.
Yeah.
Sam Berry off of the bench.
This was a wild finish. Wild finish to the game.
Huge.
He's come off. The goal he kicked to give them the lead was... The crowd was absolutely insanely loud. Even though it was an away Adelaide game, it felt like a home game. I thought I was watching it at Adelaide Oval.
It was wild.
It was such an amazing goal. And Mark Keane, former Magpie, taking the big intercept mark at the end of the game to give it to him.
Love that.
Oh, I love an Irish key defender.
Now, the scoreline here, Carlton's. This is what Carlton will be reviewing this week. Carlton's scoreline, 14 goals, 14 behinds to the Crom's 16 goals, 4 behinds.
Yep. Well, you
know, that's what's won in the game, right?
As they say, bad kicking is bad football. You know, you're not going to win many games with 16
the game
behind.
If you're not kicking goals.
Should we keep turning on? Should we churn through these?
The next game is the Gold Coast Suns versus the Hawks, which is a game that happened.
It's expected. It happened. calm the Suns. Home win. They're creating a bit of a fortress there at People First Stadium.
Moving on to
the Democratic
next game.
People's Republic of the Gold Coast.
This was the heartbreaker.
Oh,
Port
yes.
Adelaide getting up over the Dockers, 66-63.
Yeah,
now,
a classic Dockers loss. Really classic.
After having the victory snatched from them at the precipice last week, it's happened again.
Yeah.
Now, Fremantle have been, this season, incredible in the dying minutes of any given quarter. But 2 weeks in a row, they've lost it in the final 2 minutes.
It's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
But they still sit at 3-2 on the ladder. They're in 7th.
They're not bad. They're doing okay.
And they've got a game in hand.
Their style of play, it's obviously very defensive and very controlled. I just worry that they're not going to be able to hold on to that and keep it going, especially in a final situation where you need that chaos turnover.
Especially, yes, exactly
which
right.
They're not winning.
I think it's a case of the opposition they were playing as well. Porter are a very attacking team.
They are.
So I think J-Lo has done a bit more of a, all right, boys, we actually need to be a bit more locked down and a bit more tentative in this game because Port are going to burn us if we move up the field too much. Like we can't leave that space for them, I understand.
Shouts out to JHF as well.
Incredible.
He has been unbelievable, not just this season, but this game in the dying stages, running all the way to the square to take that contested mark.
He's got that dog in him. He does. Next game.
Next game, we have another one that happened.
Yes, it did. Certainly did. The football was played in this instance.
Geelong Cats absolutely shit mix the North Melbourne Football Club 139-64. Have we got anything to say about this?
North were robbed. they were robbed. The umpires took it away.
Now it's this is starting to look a little bit crazy that before the season and even a few games in, you would say North was in the best stead of the shit kickers, and it's not looking that way anymore.
2 weeks is a long time in football, as they say. It's a long time.
And we'll segue that into the final game.
Oh, my God.
The West Coast Eagles.
They've done it. The Eagles.
With the Eagles have done it.
Oh, my God.
They've defeated Richmond 109-70.
Play the shit club song, everybody. Play it. Ian Kenny, how could you do it? Yeah, 109-70, and this was a very entertaining game of football.
It was incredible.
An absolute shootout for the first half.
Now, I tipped before the round started that this was going to be a hectic game.
Yeah, and it was.
I'm so glad that it was.
It truly was. And it must be said, the Tigers are lacking a lot of cattle out there.
They're lacking some manpower.
Hey, the Eagles needed this so badly.
Yeah,
it was such a morale-building win. Incredible. Harley Reid, fantastic.
Yeah,
Jake Waterman. What in the fuck is happening here?
He was playing as an old school full forward.
He was an old school full forward.
I loved it.
Oh, it reminded me a bit of Brian Taylor out there. It was outstanding.
So the West Coast Eagles, right off the bat, they came out swinging. They scored 7-1 from clearances in the first half. That's their best in 10 years.
Yep, absolutely.
That's their best half in 10 years.
It looked like a completely different team.
It was crazy
and like
bursting through packs.
You know, Petrucelli was having a blinder.
Oh, Petrucelli, we love Petrucelli.
Tom Cole was having a blinder.
Yeah,
Bailey Williams did a good thing or two. Like you just wouldn't read about this shit.
Jinby, not bad.
I'm very much a Reuben Jinby truther.
I'm a Jinby truther.
I'm on the Jinby bandwagon. And who have they got coming up next week? We will get into the predictions, but I believe they've got another winnable game or two. When you take this into account, they've got the Derby this week, and I don't know about the Derby. They're probably going to go down
the
there.
Derby,
but
they could go down.
It does add a bit of spice to the Derby, doesn't it?
It does add a lot of spice.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. So let's get into
Reid. Harley Reid. If you're not familiar with the West Australian media, it's been an absolute circus.
Oh.
He's appeared on the back page, I think, 29 times.
Now it's up to 47, I think.
What they pumped out post this game was pretty incredible.
It was him. Yeah, it was, pun intended, because it was him dressed as Mr. Incredible. And it was Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
Who is... I know that the West Australian is print media, so therefore it's mainly going to be bought by geriatric old people. But even with that reader base, who is looking at that and going,
that's good.
Yeah, that's a good back page. That's not shit at all. I'm glad they've done that. No, not that reader doesn't exist. No matter how much of an idiot they are, who is this serving?
Yeah.
Who is this serving? Seven West? I'm watching you. Just please get better.
And it's not going to be the last one.
There's shit posting and there's shit space posting.
I fear that this is not the last we'll see.
Oh, it's definitely not.
Efforts.
But let's get into our MVP voting. The top five players from the round. Best player getting five votes.
We shall.
Fifth best getting one vote. I'll go through our esteemed panel. Monty and Travis send their apologies for not being here. But for Monty's votes, one vote he's giving to Sam Berry, super sub plus game winner. Two votes, Jakey Waterman.
Yes.
He says he's not violating his rule of no blowout votes. He says, I consider 40-plus points to be blowout win. FYI. Thank you, Monty. Three votes, Sam Walsh in his comeback game.
Yeah,
very good, Sammy Walsh. Four votes, Luke Ryan. And five votes, Alex Pierce. So he's gone the 301-2.
That was very interesting to me. They didn't win as well. But, yeah, fair play.
Yep. I don't mind
Luke Jackson dogged.
Luke Jackson dogged. Next up, Travis. One vote, Elliot Yeo. Two votes, Jeremy Cameron.
Oh, yeah, he played a wild game.
Three votes, Isaac Rankin. Excellent game. Four votes, Zach Merritt. Go Plains. And
let's go Plains.
Five votes, Lachie Whitfield. Whitfield is fucking back, he says.
Love that.
Let's go yours, Corey. Let's go yours next.
You're going to love these, I think.
Give it to me.
One vote, Sam Berry.
Oh, yes,
running off the bench to kick the winning goal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, super sub.
That's one vote material every day of the week.
Daniel John Syracuse. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Two votes. Cam Rayner.
Oh, yes.
He's been a little bit up and down. Even last year when the Lions obviously got to the grand final, he was still just a little bit inconsistent.
He was clearly the best player on the ground.
This was an unbelievable game from him. Three votes, Jake the Snake.
Oh, Jakey Waterman.
Incredible.
Yes. He's gotten a few.
Incredible.
He's gotten a few.
Not just for the six goals he kicked, but for the fucking haircut. It rules.
My missus hates it.
He fucking hates it. Such a funny looking guy. And I love it. I love it. He looks like he wants to fight you and he'd win.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
Four votes. Now, I wanted Goldstein here.
Oh, the big toddy.
I wanted Goldstein, but I had to give it to Durham.
Oh, yeah, Durham.
Man, the planes don't get up without him there.
Bring back the tag. Bring back the tagger.
He was unbelievable. Yes. And five votes. He's Mr. Incredible.
Harley Reid. Oh, I wanted to give him five. I really did.
27 disposals, seven clearances, and also just the sniff test.
Yeah.
Bursting through packs. Giving the highlight reel moment of busting Dusty Martin with the Don't Argue.
It's fucking so good.
Like, so many journalists just jizz their pants in that moment. It was un-fucking believable.
I loved every minute of it. I agree. He was amazing. I've kind of reversed it. I wanted to give him more. One vote.
Yes.
Harley Reid. Harley the one. Could easily have been higher, but it was a stacked list of talent this week.
I had a short list of about nine players.
Yeah, I had about nine or 10.
There's usually one or two that I can kind of just, you're not in. But this week, god damn it.
Two votes, Alex Pearce,
who is
getting a lot of votes in the Barely Touched
Him.
Nick Dacos Medal of Freedom this year. 20 disposals, 13 of which were intercept possessions.
Oh, I love that.
Five spoils. He is the All-Australian fullback at the moment.
100%.
To me, he is. Three votes, Sam Durham. Yep. Bring back the tag. Not only did he keep Bont to 17 disposals, he got 21 and a goal, Sam Durham did.
Very fantastic.
Four votes. Harry Sheezel.
The
Cheezel. And this is sort of, yes, he had an amazing game this week, but I feel like I've wanted to give him votes previous weeks. This is almost a retroactive four votes.
It's an aggregate.
But he got
vote.
Fucking 38 touches and a goal. He's so clearly their most influential player in the team.
Without a doubt.
His ball use is fantastic. It was 38 disposals at 81% efficiency.
Yeah.
Two goal assists. His use is amazing. He's such a great kick. He is very Nick Dacos coded. Love him. Absolutely love him. And four votes. Five votes. And not the first time I have given a fiver to this man. I gave him one last year when he was robbed for the showdown medal. It's Isaac Rankin.
I've gone the rank.
Best on ground in this win. He was going into the midfield, attending centre bounces in a trend across the AFL that I'm absolutely for. Small forwards going into the guts.
Going into the middle, yeah.
Cozzy Pickett's doing it. You see Tom Papley doing it. You're now seeing Rankin do it a lot. Toby Green gets some centre bounces occasionally.
We might be able to get some more mileage out of this bit.
Crom. Yeah. You could have at least done it on key. You could have at least gone, Crom. Oh, that's very good, though. That's very good gear. So, Isaac Rankin, did you do the adding up by any chance? No, you did that last week.
We had a running total last week. Perhaps by next week we will do a top five with scores.
With scores, so you could do some maths on the fly.
All right.
Next up, we've got the flagship segment of the Barely Touched Him podcast. It is Adopt Your Boy. Well, dear listeners, if you're not familiar with Adopt Your Boy, if you are a new listener to the podcast, of which there are a few this week, we'll go through the criteria because there's not a lot to talk about with my boy this week. The criteria, we encourage you to adopt your boy. Your boy is an AFL player that is a bit underrated, that is a bit underlooked, underpicked in the side, you might say. He has to be under the age of 25 at the start of the season, cannot be in the leadership group, cannot have won any individual award. That's best and fairest, you know, definitely not a Coleman or a Brownlow or a rising star. Cannot be a media darling. Have I missed anything there, Corey?
No, I don't think so. But a funny name or a funny head also certainly helps.
A funny name or a funny head, definitely. And if he's just – if he's down on the disposals list as well, if yeah. he's – you know, if he's getting 25 – if you go under, you know, champion data or your AFL tables and you see he's averaging like 20-plus disposals a game, he's verging out of boy territory,
yep,
you know. 100%. Bukukamas, boy. You know, that's Corey's boy. Chad Warner, Bailey Swift, not boys. Too handsome. They've got the underwear contracts. They've got the big money. They're almost too handsome. Now, what are you doing to your camera?
Oh, just refocusing.
Oh, yeah. Now, my boy, I have two boys, one from last season and one from this season. Jai Menzies.
Yes.
Got a game for Essendon, and it was another rough performance from Jai. In a big win that the Planes... He had to disembark early.
I remember watching this game and at a point thinking, oh yeah, fuck.
Yeah,
Jai Menzies out there.
Fuck. he had four disposals. 11 pressure acts though is not bad. But the tactical sub out.
You've got the wrong Jai. You want Caldwell.
Well, the thing is, no, I'm backing my boy Jai Menzies. One, because he's smaller than Caldwell, and I like a small boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That came out wrong. I'll clip that. Yeah. But also, I feel like he's getting burned a bit in the passes. There have been many times where Jai's
conspiracy might be afoot.
Where Jai's wide open and they could go a handball off to him. It's very similar to Paddy Parnell off of halfback last year, my other beautiful, handsome, articulate son, not getting the ball in the handball chain. And he's absolutely there. He's wide open and you're not going to my boy. And I feel like a parent on the sidelines complaining to the coach. I'm going to ring up Brad Scott and say, why aren't you giving the ball to my son? I feel like this is not fair. You know, he deserves a Macca's Happy Meal certificate just as much as everybody else.
Of course.
But he's in danger of getting dropped this week, Jai. I hope he doesn't. He provides the pressure. He provides the tackling. He provides the chasing. Let's hope he keeps his spot. And Paddy Parnell is injured.
I believe, Paddy Parnell's still recovering from that.
Shoulder injury.
Shoulder injury.
Prayers up.
On my side, Bukukamis, 13 disposals in a pretty unremarkable game. He was pretty reliably monstered by the Planes.
Well, he's going up against big Kyle Langford for the most part. It's a tough day at the office.
Specifically a few plays where he wasn't looking too crash hot.
Yeah.
But a couple of turnovers and whatnot.
But he's still a young boy.
He has had a great year up to now, and he will bounce back.
He's been hit
by the Planes and the Brotherhood, as it were.
A second plane has hit Bukukamis. Please stop reading the stories of the children. Next up, we've got other sporting news to round out things.
Have you got our shit intro.
Formula One.
Yeah, working on a new one.
This is so bad. Midget Olympics.
It's great. So, Ben.
Yes, other sporting news.
First of all, prayers up to the king. OJ Simpson is dead.
Oh, no. Yeah, how did I not have this in my dot points? So OJ Simpson is dead.
One of the greatest rushing offense men in NFL history has died.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, you know, his career was overshadowed with the controversy of the tragic death of his wife. And hopefully OJ's death will renew interest in finding the real killer.
Finding the real killer, which was not OJ. It was absolutely not OJ.
He was found innocent.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. You must acquit. I think they should get Johnny Cochran into AFL tribunal discussions, particularly if you're Brad Crouch, you've got to have a Johnny Cochran there to defend the bump.
Prayers up to the king.
Prayers up to the king, OJ, and shout out to his wife. Sorry, his family. His family.
So, but the funniest thing to me was obviously OJ, he struggled to tell the truth about things at times. Just mere weeks before his death, he was asked, like, OJ, you're right. So, what do you mean? I'm totally fine. I've never been better. I'm great. And then 3 weeks later, he's dead of cancer. So, mate, you must have known you were dying.
Yeah, well, you know, when the juice is loose, it's hard to keep him back. another one. Remember when he got done for stealing a bunch of his own merchandise?
Yeah.
Like if this
well,
was years
ago. Well, that's what he went to jail for.
Yeah, he went to jail for like stealing a bunch of his own memorabilia back from some fucking sporting museum or something.
He sold it to someone. And then stole it back.
It's so wild. It's
It was the dumbest crime because it was all like verified stuff. Like, who are you going to sell it to?
And also,
it's only worth money if you have the certificate to say that it was verified on this date.
I'm pretty sure also he wrote a book called If I Did It.
If I Did It.
If I Did It.
And that it was, if you look at the title, and this is the craziest thing. If you're a dear listener, if you're listening to this, please look this up. The cover of the book says, I did it, and the if is very small in brackets
my God.
In the middle of the thing.
That is marketing genius.
It is. It is truly insane. It's truly unhinged.
Oh, good Lord Almighty.
Prayers up to the king.
Prayers up to the king. Another thing happened. UFC 300 happened. Thank you for calling into the podcast, Bruce Buffer. He's a big fan.
This was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
I started watching this at about 6-7 in the morning. I watched all the prelims, all the early prelims. It was fucking stacked.
It was a huge card.
It started getting good really fast and just didn't stop. It was fucking
unbelievable. I admittedly didn't start watching till the main card.
Mate, I was lighting up the group chat.
So good. I loved my boy Jiří Prochazka.
Oh, mate.
Getting the win.
He's got to be the most bizarre man in the UFC.
The fact that the light heavyweight division did need him, you need a weird European guy who is just going to swing and strike and fucking do cool shit.
Yeah.
And like,
well, his whole pump up package was about like fucking doing weird samurai shit.
He's being a samurai.
And very bizarre.
He seems like a nice guy, but it's a very bizarre man also.
Seems great.
But what a finish to that fight. And obviously the main event.
Well, before we go to the main event, on the prelim card was Holly Holm versus Kayla Harrison. Now, we've been waiting for Kayla Harrison to hit the UFC for some years. She's a two-time Olympic judo champion and an absolute beast.
Yes.
She has the lats and traps.
And biceps.
Of a 45-year-old man overdosing on TRT.
Insane. It's like if Yoel Romero at age 12. Yes. Like that is her body.
She looks like a monster.
Yeah.
And she's gone in against Holly Holm, fucking wrecked her.
Of course.
Absolutely wrecked her. And Holm went in as the bit of a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Kayla
get the bag,
Harrison's
queen. Get the bag.
Mate, very strange person to look at. You can't look away.
It's such an impressive physique that you're like, Jesus.
I found myself, even her head.
Staring
at the screen, though.
The last time I saw a female women's MMA fighter in the UFC that really made me go, oh, my God, you look like a fucking huge athlete. It was Cyborg. It was like Cyborg when she was, you know, really killing people. You would look at her and go, that's a terrifying human.
Aljamain Sterling going up a weight class and defeating Calvin Kattar. That was good because Aljamain Sterling, a freak of cutting. It was bizarre that he could be in the class below, but now he's at featherweight, looking exactly the same somehow. Yeah.
Well, at those lower weight divisions, like, you know, it becomes like a bit of blurred lines. You know, you can really
about 6'5".
Yeah, Sterling's not 6'5". He's not that tall.
Aljamain Sterling is huge.
I'd say he'd be about 6 foot. He's not 6'5". He's not. I guarantee you that. Either way, though, the point I was making was at that. Most of those weight classes, the guys are walking around at, you know, 160-ish pounds anyway, and they all cut freakish amounts to get there. You look at Conor McGregor's weight now. Conor McGregor, he's a great fighter. He's a great fighter.
I'm a
great fighter.
Where the fuck is he?
But you look at him now and you look at him at featherweight, it's a completely different bloke.
He looks ill.
He looks very ill.
He looks really ill. Moving to the main event, Bo Nickel. The wunderkind, as it were. They rolled out Cody Brundage as, again, a bit of a sacrificial lamb. Not sure how this one ended up on the main card.
It's because it's Bo Nickel. He's the wrestling golden boy.
He is. Charles Oliveira, if Oliveira didn't get a first-round submission, he was always going to lose this. And Armin Sarukian took that out. Apparently backstage after this fight, after all the fights, Sarukian was offered Makhachev at 302.
Islam.
Yeah.
Oh.
At UFC 302. He turned it down. He said, well, that's too short of a turnaround. What are you doing?
And it's Islam. You need a big fucking camp for Islam.
And honestly, this next one to me was the main event of the whole card. Justin Gaethje and Max Holloway.
Oh, huge.
The most insane finish to a UFC fight I've ever seen.
I love it. Like I always love it when Max Holloway does this because he's done it a few times where he, at the end of the fight, he just points to the center of the octagon and let's fucking throw down right now.
And he didn't need to because he'd won every round.
Yeah. So it's Max Holloway.
He gave Gaethje an out and said, if you stand here and swing, you could still win.
Yeah. The man just loves to box. He's so incredibly good with his hands and his head movement and his fucking loose. Oh.
Justin Gaethje, he kind of got done dirty in this one.
The knockout happened with a second to go on the clock.
One second on the clock
after 10 seconds of the most frantic fucking head swings you have ever seen. Go watch it if you haven't watched it.
But early in this fight, Justin Gaethje had his nose exploded.
Yes.
He had his nose completely broken and then got poked in both eyes.
Yeah, not great.
Which kind of sucks for him.
The old Daniel Cormier special. very funny.
Weili Zhang overcoming the Chinese compatriot. Yan Xiaonan, and then the main event.
Well, you know who the real winner in that was?
China.
The glorious People's Republic of China.
I didn't enjoy seeing one comrade against the other.
No.
But it was for the betterment of...
Of the proletariat. Yes, of course. So, moving on.
Alex Pereira was always going to beat Jamahal Hill, unfortunately.
Yeah, he is a scary dude.
He's very scary.
But the knockout was
really scary. Every time he walks into the ring, I forget how big he is. You forget how much of a mountain he is. He is so fucking big.
He might be pound for pound number one for me, like in the UFC right now. It's him or Islam.
But a massive, massive card. I had a lot of fun watching it. Honestly, listener, if you haven't looked at the finish of the Holloway v. Gaethje fight, please, I implore you to pick that up.
And also, watching UFC, I can't help but miss the heavyweights and Francis Ngannou being there. I wish Francis Ngannou was still in this UFC because that card needed him versus Jones there. We know what's happened with Jones. We know what's happened with Francis. He's left the, I'm happy he's getting the bag. He deserves it.
Yep.
Going to fight Tyson Fury. But man, fuck. Even have Ngannou Fury in the octagon at UFC. I'll do anything. I don't care. They don't make men like me anymore. I'll get in there. I'll do a double leg. I'll do a double leg takedown on him.
Out of all your impressions and accents and everything, it's the Tyson Fury one that gets me.
I like doing a Tyson Fury.
They don't make men like me.
Give me a topic to talk about as Tyson Fury. What's Tyson mad about? Go on.
The Bruce Lehman rape charge.
Well, it's not actually defamation, you see. It's not actually defamation. You know, I've talked to me dad. I've talked to Bruce. I've talked to the Seven West and all that. They're a joke. They don't make men like me. I'll get in this court. You can't take me down. You can't take me down. You can't sue me like another man.
That's Bruce as Tyson Fury.
I love it.
Get Kerry Stokes in here.
The other most significant event of the weekend...
Yes, the Masters.
The Masters.
Cue the nice piano music.
Oh, yes, I do. No, it's all right.
Do you actually have... No, either way. My boy, Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, he took it, didn't
he? He's done it again. He's got the green jacket and didn't even want to be there.
He didn't look in danger.
He didn't want to be there either. He said in interviews, because his wife... is quite heavily pregnant and about to bust.
Oh,
he wanted to be there with her if she goes into labor and said if she did go into labor at any point, he would have just flown out and left.
Yeah.
Which I think...
Fair enough,
but also, you know, it's the Masters.
It is the Masters. Well, it's his second win in just 5 years.
Yeah, he is the world number one for a reason. And
poor old Tiger Woods. I mean, he did make the cut. It was Tiger's 24th cut. And after he made the cut, he said, quote, I have a chance.
Yeah.
And then in the final round, he went on to make 10 over, which is his worst ever performance.
You gave it a crack, Tiger.
He did give it a crack.
The fact that he's still competing is wild.
The wild thing is that he is so busted up and like robocopped.
Yeah.
I was watching it and, you know, between holes, he was pulling up his shirt to apply like deep heat and stuff.
Yeah.
And his body is just wrapped in like bandages and straps.
It's like a high tech girdle to keep his back from falling apart.
It's fucked, and he still needs deep heat in there as well.
Yeah, he's a cyborg now.
I enjoyed watching it. Tiger's great to watch, and he was in the first day. He was paired up with Homer.
Max Homer.
Homer,
yeah.
Who was brilliant, really, really brilliant, and you know was cozying up to Scheffler at one point through the weekend, but fell away. The bloke that came second, I forget his name, the Norwegian guy, I believe.
Was it Hovland?
L. A. Berg.
He was
quite good to watch as well. But
I'll tell you on a tangent here, because obviously Tiger's got to retire from golf, but he's got that dog in him so much and he needs to compete.
Well, he came out
I think that he should career change.
Oh.
He should get into darts.
Oh, I like that.
Imagine Tiger Woods applying all of his skill, competitive ability and like RoboCop-ness into being the best darts player all time.
The thing about Tiger is before the Masters kicked off, he came out and I don't think it was him that said it. It got leaked out that he had said to someone he'd given up sex in the lead up to the Masters.
I don't believe that for a second.
I don't believe it. But if it is true, perhaps it could explain his poor performance.
That's
especially
right.
It got worse as the weekend went on.
Yeah.
Mate, you're the king. You like to fuck.
Yeah.
Just do what you do.
Give it up.
Let him cook.
Let him cook.
Let the man cook. But shouts out Tiger. He's a true hero of the pod.
We've got some other great sporting news here. Nike has been once again commissioned to make the uniforms and outfits for the various athletes, the US athletes, that is, at the upcoming Paris Olympics.
Ah, yes.
Now, they did the unveiling ceremony, Ben.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Chaos ensued.
No.
Because the men's one looks exactly like what the US always wears. The women's one looks a little bit different.
Why is that?
The ladies' leotards, especially for the track and field athletes, it looks quite uncomfortable in the vaginal area.
Oh, like too high up there?
The hips are very high. And I have a photo here. And
let me have a look. I'll come round.
What it looks like is the hips are too high.
Oh, that's a bathing suit.
The gutters, as it were, are completely exposed.
So if you've just used the term gutters to refer to a vagina, what you just said?
No, no, the cum gutters are from...
What is a cum gutter?
Now, Ben...
This is horribly offensive.
It's a sexist term. Men actually have more pronounced cum gutters than ladies do.
What is a cum gutter?
So the cum gutter is the region that stretches from your hip bone down to your groin region.
Oh.
And if you see quite a ripped man, their cum gutter is very pronounced. It's a channel. It's a channel that goes from the hip bone down to the groin region. Now, this bathing suit, or athletic suit, as it were, exposes the gutters.
Oh,
completely.
I'm looking at it. The gutters are out. The gutters are out.
So it looks like the only thing that this is covering is barely just the vagina.
Yeah, that is actually... I'm shocked. I'm looking at it.
So all the
that
athletes...
That is outrageous.
They unveiled it. And they were like, wow, look. And all the athletes were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We're not wearing that.
I need names of who designed this.
So Nike,
whose decision it was.
Nike's immediately backpedaled. They've said, well, did we forget to mention we've got several other variations?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, no, you didn't.
No, you fucking
didn't,
Nike.
No, you didn't.
You wanted the Insta photos, you sly dogs. That is actually hilarious.
Now, Ben, my favorite story of the week.
Yes.
It's not often that the great...
Apart from Jake Stringer converting to Islam.
Oh, very good. But kind of on brand.
Oh, okay.
It's not often that the great nation of China's reputation is thrown into disrepute.
No, they're very...
Especially in the sporting arena.
Oh, they take it very seriously.
They take it very seriously. They're very honest competitors.
They are.
But people are speculating about the Beijing Marathon that happened over the weekend. Now, I have watched the footage of this, and it is quite damning.
I haven't seen the footage yet. I haven't seen the footage. Let's have a look.
I'll spin this around.
Yeah,
you can have a look.
Yeah. I can see it from
so
here.
So this is the dying stages. Now, I'll set this up if you're just listening. They're coming down to the final 200 meters. There's three African men and one very small Chinese
man. He is tiny compared to those African dudes.
Now, the speculation here is that the Africans are letting the Chinese man win, and you can clearly see one of the African competitors waving to his compatriots to slow down.
Oh.
They are willing this. They're willing the willing this.
It's
fellow.
So damning because they're all together as well. Like,
and they barely look like they are.
They're just coasting. They're
and
just coasting.
This poor Chinese fella. He looks like he's struggling to the line.
Oh man!
But he gets there. He does get there, God willing, and you know, maybe he did win on his own power.
Oh, he is sprinting there. Like, okay.
Those other guys, they are basically
nah,
walking.
They are on autopilot.
They
there.
Are basically
They are on
walking.
Autopilot.
They are basically walking.
Oh, that does look like it was rigged. That really does.
Now,
the question is, who rigged it? Who rigged it?
Well, clearly the Africans, not the Chinese.
they had a bet on themselves to come second.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know,
they're famously betting.
But the Chinese don't need to do this. No. They already dominate a lot of sports at the Olympics. Like, they have good athletes. And
glory to China.
They're never going to... Oh, glory to the People's Republic and long live the revolution. But they don't need to do well in long distance running, the Chinese. They're so good at many other things. Yeah. I don't know why they would do this. They're really good at gymnastics. You get a lot of good Chinese weightlifters, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong there? Or am
no,
I pulling
are.
That out
they
of my
good.
Ass? The
they
Chinese are good at lifting weights.
Swimming. Quite good at
swimming.
Never,
the Chinese are good at
never any drug controversies.
Never,
either.
Never. Well,
not
they figure. Well, what? Who needs steroids when you have marks? That's really
yes.
the only thing.
That's like, right.
You can beat your competitors through dialectical materialism. Now, any other sporting news?
No. Should we move on to tips?
Let's move on to tips.
Okay,
so
I've got the fixture.
You go through them here. I have not written down my tips, so I'm barebacking
now,
this.
Now Thursday night we've got St Kilda versus the Bulldogs.
Oh boy.
I have just lost my pen.
I am going to go with St Kilda here. I'm going to go with the Saints. I think it is now the time of the season, good song by the Zombies, where the Bulldogs sort of fall into a black pit of despair and Bevo loses his job.
I'm going to take the Dogs.
You've done the Doggies.
I think
All
they
right.
come back.
Okay. And margin?
Oh, yes. 16 points.
Okay, I'm going to go Saints by 30. That's what I'm 30? Going to go. 30 okay. points for St Kilda.
Next we have...
No, we'll go Trav and Monty's as well.
Oh, yeah, of
Monty's
course.
Tips is St Kilda by 6.
Yep.
And Travis's tips are Dogs by 10. So we do have a bit of a split. Next
yeah, I
up.
Yeah. I love that Trav's going with me there. That's
yeah,
good.
That's very good. What's the next game?
Next one is the Crompocalypse versus the Plains.
Now, what ground is it at? What ground is it at?
It's at Adelaide Oval.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That okay. The Crom are hot.
The Crom are hot. But so are the Planes.
Are the Crom back? That's the question. Are the Planes going to fly in and rob
I'm
the Crom?
I'm taking the Planes.
I can't tip against my boys. I'm going Essendon.
Yes.
I'm going the Planes. I'm going the Dons.
Let's
you
go.
You know this if you're listening, dear listeners, if you've been tuning in week after week. I've never been so on a bandwagon than I am right now. I'm more invested in Essendon than I am the Pies this
100%.
Season. I'm gonna get a shirt. I'm gonna get an Essendon piece of merch and I'm gonna wear it on the next pod. I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna get it on eBay. I'm gonna get a secondhand one and I'm tipping the Essendon Bombers.
As am I, Ben. As am I.
The Bombers are so back. They're so here. They're so edging. That they're going to edge and goon their way to victory against the almighty Crom, lids off, and best on ground, obviously, the King Zach Merritt, obviously.
Yeah, love it.
And for Monty and Travis, let me just pull up the bloody message here. Essington is what Travis tips. Travis tips Essington. As does Monty.
Yes.
Everyone's tipping the Planes. All right.
Let's go.
Next up.
Next game. We have sat the start of Super Saturday. This is going to be a big Super Saturday here. Four games. First up, the Pies versus Port Adelaide.
Oh, huge.
Huge.
Oh,
at the
my
MCG.
God. At the Pies versus Port at the G.
Yeah. Big litmus test for the Pies.
That's a big litmus test.
You have
this
to say
is,
this is probably their most important game so far.
So far, yeah. It's do or die now. If you lose this, you're really going to start to question the Pies for finals.
Big time.
If you win this, we are so back.
We're on.
We are so back.
People are talking about the Lions being back.
No, if the Pies win
if the Pies, we're on the loans level.
We're absolutely back. I'm going to tip the Pies. Yeah. I can't not tip the Pies.
Same.
Best on ground. Let's go Billy Frampton.
Big Bill.
Big, bustling Billy Frampton.
I'm going to take Jordan to go.
Yeah, nice. All right. Monty has, of course, tipped Port Adelaide.
Of course he has.
Travis has tipped. I have to keep scrolling back between these two. Fuck. Where was it? Oh, boy, I've lost it. Travis has tipped the Pies.
The Pies. Good. Good man. Good man. Next, we've got Carlton versus the GWS Giants at Marvel Stadium.
Ooh.
I'm taking the Giants here.
I'm also taking the Giants. I think they are the best team in the comp right now, and they will continue to be in this game.
Yep.
Monty is going Carlton.
Wow, big call.
And Trav
call.
Is going Giants
the
as
GWS
well.
GWS Giants, okay. Next game, this one could be interesting as well. Brisbane Lions versus the Geelong Cats.
At the Gabba. At the Gabba, Brizzy. I can't not tip Brizzy there. They found form. They won't lose.
Now, well, the Geelong are one of two teams that are undefeated. Do you think it's Brisbane at the Gabba? They've got to get a win at the Gabba.
They're going to come back pretty strongly.
I agree.
I think it would actually be quite a convincing win.
Next game. We've got the other two.
Ease up. Travis tips Lions.
Lions,
and
yes.
Monty tips Geelong.
Oh.
So we do have a bit of variation there.
Next game, the Western Derby, 6:10 p.m. at Optus Stadium. Here we go.
I want to tip Eagles so bad.
So do I.
I don't know.
So do I.
You're a Freo truther as well.
Oh, I'm a big Freo truther.
You go first.
I don't know.
I don't want to do it. I can't do it. Don't tempt me, Frodo.
I mean, every logical bone in my body is saying the Fremantle Dockers will win this comfortably.
But.
Imagine. Now, is it? It's an Eagles home game too.
It's an Eagles home derby.
It's an Eagles home game.
They're going to be booing.
It'll be sold
out. They're going to be booing.
It'll be fucking sold out.
Harley Reid is going to be turned.
Fuck.
You know what I'm doing? Do you know what I'm about to do?
I'm going
to
tip the Eagles.
Yes, yes, we're both tipping Eagles.
You know what? I'm not just going to tip them. I'm going to put on a multi that makes so much money. I'm going to put on a multi that's like $25,000 to the dollar.
I'm going to put everything on Tom Cole for the medal. I'm going for it. Monty has tipped Fremantle.
They'll both tip
And Travis
sure.
has tipped Fremantle.
Because they're not retarded. They're not retarded.
You can't say that.
They're not intellectually challenged men.
Yes, all right. Next up.
The next game, the start of Sunday. The Sydney Swans take on the Gold Coast Suns. Now, this is a big game for the Suns. A lot of good matchups this weekend.
This is a great round.
There's not really any shit matches here.
I am going to go with the Gold Coast.
I'm taking the Suns.
I think they're in really good form.
They're my boys.
They are our boys.
They're my boys. They play a brand of football that I really like. And you know what it is? It's like an advanced form of amateur footy.
Yes.
They bang it, but they trust that once it's banged, they can then still get it.
Yes.
And I love that.
I do love that as well.
I love it.
They've just got – I think it's a very huge midfield battle between these two teams. Like you've got Grundy versus Witts in the ruck, former teammates at Collingwood. You've got Heaney, Gooden and Warner up against Anderson, Miller and Rowell.
Yeah.
That's – money.
That's huge.
That is fucking money matchup any day of the week.
I'm struggling to find a game thus far that I don't want to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to just watch nothing but football all weekend.
My partner gets back from America this weekend. She's going to be jet lagged to all fuck.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pat her head, give her a Valium and watch every single game of football.
It's all coming together.
The final game of the round. Quick question. How many years do you think with now that they've got Dimmer and this midfield, how long until the Suns win a flag?
I think they can win one this year.
Whoa!
I think they can win the flag this year.
I think they definitely
If they beat Sydney this game,
I'll be heavy on.
I'll be heavy on.
Yeah,
load up. I'm telling you right now, they've got it.
Final game of the round, ladies and gentlemen. The North Melbourne Kangaroos versus the Hawthorn Hawks.
Oh,
spoon bowl.
North
as it
versus Hawth. Oh,
it's at Marvel Stadium.
Oh, that's such a Marvel game as well.
Yeah,
it's fucking. If any game was made for Marvel Stadium.
I'm taking the Hawks here.
I am going to take North Melbourne.
Okay.
I think North, both of these teams are going to come out hard because they know that this is a winnable contest. Yeah. This might be game of the round.
They know that whoever loses this is going to be mocked mercilessly.
Oh, absolutely correct. And it's Clarko Bowl. It's the Clarko Bowl.
I forgot about that.
There's so many angles to this. There are so many angles to this game. I'm going North Melbourne. Sorry, I've forgotten the boys for the last two tips.
Oh, yes.
Monty is tipping Sydney and North. Travis is tipping Sydney and North also.
And just to cap the round off, if it wasn't apparent, the bye teams are the Demons and the Tigers.
Yes, of course. And we will finish with the mailbag. We have a few questions this week. Not heaps, but we do have a few. Ben Carter 23 says, they won't pick him. Sam McClure. Harley Reid on was talking about.
Oh, I love this.
Love this.
There was actually a screenshot that I grabbed, and it was Harley Reid's stat line from the game superimposed over Sam McClure's face.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Looking mystified.
Van the Man 02 says, why does Hutto commentate all those close Crows wins, 2021 versus Melbourne and 2022 showdown? I think it is a conspiracy or a... Cromspiracy, if you will, to make sure they're marquee television because Hutto is one of the best callers in the game. You've got to give the Crom the prime time guys.
You do.
You know, I think you're onto something there. Braden Crocker says, will Benry be Homer in the episode Lisa versus Bart in hockey this week as his boys face off? Oh, I didn't even think about that.
What is this?
Paddy Parnell versus Jai Menzies. It's the boy. Oh, my God.
The boy off.
How did I not think of this during the Adopt Your Boy segment? My two boys.
Wow.
Yeah. I am Homer in that episode.
Well, the Adopt Your Boy is going to be huge.
The
next
winner
week.
Will be showered with praise. The loser will be pelted and booed until my throat is sore. Yeah. So this is now, or I could be like.
That's a great pickup from the listener there.
The Von Erich father in The Iron Claw, where I have a ranking of all my sons and they're constantly toxically fighting against each other until they all die of preventable things because I've depressed them. Great film.
Zephron,
we love him. And Bushchuk Bandit says, who do you reckon out of current AFL players looks like they have the shittest golf swing? That's a great question.
That is a great
question. Who looks like they have the shittest golf swing?
Now, I know we've probably because we've been talking about him a lot this episode and he's at the front of my mind. Jake the Snake looks like he's never seen a golf
Jake
club.
Jake Waterman. Yeah. Imagine Jake Water in the attire. He's either going to be really shit or the best swing you've ever seen in your life. There's no middle ground with Jakey Boy Waterman. Who else looks like they could have a bad?
Just quickly on the golf front, friend of the show, Travis Stribley and I played in the Chris Mayne Classic last week.
Yeah, lovely name for a tournament.
A BTH Cup qualifying event.
We invited Chris Mayne on the pod and he asked for money. I'm just going to throw that out there. Chris, you broke my heart. You ghosted me after I said we didn't have any money.
Stribo took me out by five strokes. So
it was
a great round.
Okay, great round. Five over 18 is very good.
I couldn't drive for shit, but my rescue game was very good.
Who else has looks like they have a shit golf swing? I reckon Nick Blakey looks like his golf.
Good pick.
That's not a body made for throwing it down. He's gonna be all arms. No. There's going to be no hips at all. He's going to be all lizardy shoulders and swinging shoulders, and it's going to be slicing. He's a slicer. Also, I reckon someone who looks like they cheat in golf, Tom Papley. Papley looks like he cheats in golf.
He'll also have to have special small clubs made.
Like little mini putt-putt clubs. And that's it. It's a small mailbag this week, but thank you for your continued support of the podcast to the people who do write in.
Thank you, dear listeners.
And I think that might be it for the week.
If you are still listening, don't forget, whatever service or app you are listening to us on, whether it be Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a five-star rating.
Give us a five-star.
It really helps us out.
We've just finished the Uber ride. Can I have five-star, please? Can I please? After not talking to you the entire time, I just let you scroll on your phone in the back of the car. That's what you wanted. You antisocial fuck. See you next week, everyone.
Enjoy the round.
Enjoy the footy.